Welcome back to the Infinite Creators Podcast. For this week's show, we have a lady called Carla McDade, who is my sister, and we have a discussion about her challenges and what she's going through at the minute and something that she would like to share. So thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm delighted and so grateful to have my very first guest on this podcast, and her name is Carla McDade. Carla is a sister of mine, and she has a story to share that is quite deep for her, and I think it's a topic that needs to be talked about and brought to light more. So Carla, thank you very much for coming on my podcast. I really, really appreciate it. So how are you?
I am good, Ryan. Thank you. And thank you for having me. Yes, this is a story to tell. And if I can help one person with it, then so be it. So I'm very grateful and thankful to be here also.
Cool. So do you want to do a small introduction? You know, who you are, what you do, so people kind of get an idea of yourself?
So my name is Carla McDade, as Ryan introduced me. I am 29 years old, hitting the 30 mark this year. I run two businesses. I have my own salon where I do hair and makeup, and I run a cafe as well where we do coffee and light bites.
So would you like to, you know, bring this story, or how would you like to bring this to the people who are listening today?
I'm not really sure how to bring this around, but yes, so back in February 2020, myself and my partner had decided that we were going to try for a kid, and that was great. I came off my contraception and we were excited. This was going to be a new journey in our life and a new path, and it's something myself and my partner has always wanted. My partner says he would fill the house if he could. So we decided, as I says, we were going to go and try for kids, and we didn't think too much into it at the start. I thought that I would come off my contraception and boom, I would have a kid within a short space of time, and I didn't. I think 6 months passed, and I knew in myself that this wasn't something that was going to happen, as you could say, naturally. It was just what my gut was telling me. I never mentioned it to my partner, but as time went on, I would say closer to the year mark, my partner did start to ask as well, you know, we're not pregnant yet. Is everything okay? Is it me? Is it you? And then we got into that topic and we spoke, and then I had told him that I kind of knew what I felt in 6 months. And I explained that when we get over the year mark, we'll call the doctors and we'll talk, because you have to be trying one full year before doctors or nurses or anybody will look or take into consideration. So this had happened prior to COVID. We planned to have kids. So then this happened during COVID, where we knew that nothing was happening. And at that stage, it was all phone calls. And I rang the doctors, and you weren't allowed in to see anybody. I explained my situation to my doctor. She was lovely. Right away, she got into it. She told me what to do. She says that I'm going to have to get tests done and all that jazz. So then time went on. Gynae had closed in COVID with the NHS. And gynae is where women go to check to see if everything's okay.
So you mentioned that, you know, you didn't say anything to your partner, like at that, what was it? But you said at the 6 month mark, that's when you kind of felt that this wasn't going to happen. So what was it that you felt, and why was it that you were not able to express that to your partner?
I think as a woman, there's a lot of pressure. So when I knew, I thought it was me. I thought, right, okay, like, I can't have kids here. And it was just, I know that my partner has been destined to be a father for quite some time. So I suppose telling him that I think that there's something wrong at 6 months, I was just afraid of if I would hurt his feelings, or I don't really know. It's a tricky situation because you're in a relationship and you're afraid that maybe your partner that's destined for kids for so long and then you can't have kids, like, you would be afraid maybe your partner is going to be like, okay, I don't know if I want to do this, possibly. It was just a scary point after the 6 months mark.
What was it that you were scared of? Like, what was it that was so, that you were unable to express to your partner?
I think I was embarrassed. I think embarrassment more than anything, because we were so excited for another journey in our life. And yeah, I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to produce. And it's one thing that as a woman you want to do so mm-hmm. bad in life.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that we, you know, like, I'm not a woman, but that some women feel that pressure, that there's this expectation, you know. And where do you think this expectation comes from? Like, why is it a case of, or what where did you take on that expectation? So I suppose you did want to have kids.
I think.
Or you do want to have kids.
I do. Sorry. Yep. I think as I always stay back in the day, in the olden days, as we would call it, there was never any issue of women having kids. So there's a lot of stigma when you get to a certain age, I find, as a woman, that if you don't have kids by 30, why are you not having kids? You know, your wee sister's had a kid. And are you going to have a kid? It's your time now. You know, your brother's had a kid. And I thought you would have been first, Carla. Are you going to have kids?
So can I just stop? So can you explain, what do you mean that... Is this like people or what? Or
people,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
People.
So can you give me some examples of, like, what kind of conversations that have happened in that, like, that you've been involved in, and what did you feel in them moments?
So, example is myself and my partner are together 14 years, and it's a case of we're both in, well, I'm hitting 30, my partner's in his 30s, and it's like, you know, we're not engaged, so there's stigma around, are you just going to get engaged? Are you just going to give us a day out? If you aren't going to give us a day out, are you going to have kids? Do you think it's time to have kids now? Maybe you should think about kids. And I always pawned it off with, I'm too busy right now in life with work and doing what I'm doing and running the business that I can't even think about kids. But deep down, I have nothing against that person that asks, and I know that they don't mean anything by it or any bad. It's how it makes you feel as a woman, that it's the one thing in life you want to do, and I'm sure every woman wants to experience.
Yeah.
And you can't.
Yeah.
So.
So if you take a moment.
So, as a woman, it's one thing, I'm sure. It's not for everyone. I know there's women out there that don't want kids and men that don't want kids, and that's fine. But when it's something you want so bad and you can't have what you want, it's just tough. So it just, when people ask you, bearing in mind, just maybe think. Maybe think before you ask, or think before you speak, because it's how you make that woman feel. I feel when people ask me, like, I don't want, like, what would be, like, useless? Like, not, that's not a good term, but I feel like I'm not able to give what I was born to give. We were all born as women, and we were made, our body was supposed to be made for this, and it's just really tough. Yeah.
I remember a few years ago, well, I don't know, probably 10 plus years ago or so now, I asked a woman, are you going to have kids? And she says, no, she's busy. And the moment she asked me, it just struck me. I was like, who am I to ask someone, are you going to have kids? And I was like, why did I even ask her? Why is she going to have kids? Why? And it really questioned, I really questioned that moment. It was like, what if she's struggling to have kids? And it taught me, like, the reason I'm asking, is she going to have kids, is because that's what I have been exposed to growing up. It's like, you always hear people, are you going to have kids? Are you going to have kids? People keep putting their expectations on you, and they don't even realize that they're doing it. And, like, you being in that situation now, do you feel that you have to answer them, or what is it in that moment? Like, could you not say, for example, like, you know, I'm struggling, or do you feel that it's none of their business to ask you, you know?
Honestly, I feel like it's none of their business
to
ask. Definitely none of their business, anybody's business. But I also know that, you know, friends and family, and I know that it's just a genuine question that people think, you know, there's nothing, you know, it's just a question to other people. But, and I know they don't mean harm by it, but I do think it's none of their business. And yes, I do feel that you have to answer. You have to answer with, I've only started recently answering people with, we're trying. And for probably the last 3 years, I've just been telling people, we're busy with life and business. Yeah, you do feel like you have to answer. Because if you ignore, you know, they'll ask again.
Yeah, so there's like an element of pressure being put on you in that moment.
Yeah. And definitely. And your whole body shuts down and freezes. Like, you nearly know when the question's coming. Like, you know, depending on what conversation and what's coming next.
So you said that you've recently started telling people. So what has changed, or, you know, what has brought you to this point?
What has brought me to this point is when I didn't tell my own parents or any of my family for about a year and a half. And that even after I had told my parents, I still didn't tell people. I still told people life was busy, I'm too busy. After I told my parents, though, I got blessed with great news that my little sister was pregnant and my bigger brother was having a child. And that really made me so happy. And it brought me to a point that I felt that I couldn't talk to anyone about what I was going through without being embarrassed. But you do sit back and you do think, there's probably loads of people going through this, but nobody talks about it. Because I think people think it's such a big deal, like myself at the start, that I can't have kids. What am I going to do? But there is other options out there. There's IVF, there's surrogacy, there is adoption. And I just find I am one of these people that I am answering people with lies, and I'm not going to do that no more, because I have done everything I can in my power to get where I am at today. And I'm at a good place with, there's nothing more I can do.
So, like, I had a dream about you. And the dream was that you couldn't have kids in the dream. And it was like, what the hell? Is like, is Carla? So when I woke up, I was like, what? Is Carla struggling to have kids, you know? And I ended up asking Ma then. I was like, Ma. Because I just thought you were busy. Because you're always on the go. And I was like, is Carla struggling to have kids? I was like, because I had a dream about her. You know, she's struggling to have kids. And she's like, yeah, she's been trying this last. So I was like, Jesus, you know. I was like, she didn't tell us, you know, she didn't tell me, you know. And I was like, why? He's like, why is she in silence, you know? It's just like, why is there like a stigma around this that, you know, women can't talk about it, you know? So how can we bring this to a place of like where women who are experiencing this can learn to deal with it, or, you know, or accept it? Like what has been your journey that has brought you to where you are today to, you know, keep striving forward?
Because I know that whether it's was last year, this year, or 5 years down the line, there's always going to be a good outcome. Like, it is part of my journey, and if it's part of anybody else's journey, it is something that we just have to pick up ourselves and keep going and keep loving ourselves and manifesting all our wee babies and whatever else we want in life. And it's just about keeping yourself above water and keep moving forward for myself. I found when I told the first person that I was struggling after they had asked me, no kids yet, are you having kids? They had a story to tell. Or they knew somebody that went through what I had, and that person could be five kids deep. So everyone has a story. I spoke to a lady yesterday. She was 15 and a half years married before she got her child. She has one girl now and she was in her 40s. But it can always, I'm sure of it, it will always happen. You know, you have to just know and keep thinking and knowing that it will happen eventually. And we have the option, you know, my partner has been my rock through it all. He has told me, if it is a case that we can't have kids, that there's foster out there, there's adoption out there, there's surrogacy out there. If this happens for us, great. And if not, we have other options, and adoption's the next route for us.
Cool, cool, cool. So can you give me like a breakdown of the various steps that you've taken since, you know, you've realized that you're struggling to have a kid conceived naturally? So what has been the step so far, and where are you at the moment? Where has it brought you to this moment?
So my steps was, again, I'll go back to COVID and prior COVID. I had to make phone calls during COVID. But prior COVID, my step from the doctors was going to gynae, because I have been in and out of hospital with pains in my side, and I've had numerous ultrasounds, and I've had a lot of testings done, blood testings and everything. So my next step for me was gynae, which at that time, I know it sounds silly, I was like, what is gynae? Like, and then I went and I googled gynae, and it was all about women, and if women were struggling to have kids, that gynae was all about having children and finding out if anything was wrong and where they done testing. So from the moment that I saw that, which that was in 2019, my heart sank, because something, I don't know why, something in my body had told me for a very long time that I think I was going to struggle with kids, because I'd always had this pain in my side and they never got to the bottom of it, and they still haven't got to the bottom of it. So then the year went by after us trying, and I had called the doctors, and there was nothing the doctors could do for me at that point, because, as I say, COVID was in place and gynae was closed. And, you know, my heart breaks for any woman out there that's going through it and is still going through it, and over COVID was quite hard. So I started to research and I googled, and I thought, I need to do something, because I am somebody that if I want something, I want it yesterday. I started to Google our doctors and private doctors, and I found a place in Maharafelt, which was Mid Ulster, the Mid Ulster Women's Clinic, and they were amazing. So I had to go up there and I explained my situation to them, and they done all tests, blood tests and internals, and my partner had his testings done. And from that point, we learned that I was not ovulating. Which I had kind of known because I was doing ovulation tests and I only ever in the whole time got 2 ovulation sticks where I was ovulating, and it never happened. So that was a big turning point for me also, that I was like, right, okay. The next month came and this went on and eventually I got rid of the ovulation sticks. So when the doctor had told me that I am not ovulating, they had told me that there's a tablet that I could get that would make me ovulate. And that tablet was called Clomid. And they start you on 100 milligrams or maybe 50, and the most you can get is 150. They started me on 100 milligrams of Clomid for 3 months and nothing happened. They brought me back up after the 3 months and we got another internal and I was ovulating and this was great. And we thought, oh my God. And even the doctors was like, oh my God, you're ovulating. This is amazing. This is great. They're working. And I was like, oh my God, I was so happy. I thought this is it. It is going to happen. Like happy days. I came out. I told my partner. He was delighted. We both thought, oh my God, this is going to happen. And of course it didn't.
Okay, so you just had got great news and sounded like you'd got to the top of the mountain. And then it seems like you were back down at the bottom. So having been at the bottom already, how did it feel being back there again, where you got the news that you were waiting for and it didn't work?
It was tough.
So how did you process it this time?
I tried to process it as best that I could and looked at the most positive outlooks that I could and just say, okay, this is just not meant to be right now. I need to have this another 3 months of this tablets and everything will be okay. Hitting that point was another rock bottom point, definitely, because we thought the problem was I wasn't ovulating. We got that problem solved and it still didn't happen. So it was like, we're back to square one. And I had to take another 3 months of Clomid.
Okay, and where did that bring you to then?
So another 3 months of Clomid brought me to being back at the doctor's. So there was definitely more lows than highs. I'm sure anyone out there that's going through the same as me knows exactly what it's like. We were back down at rock bottom again, but this was all through my private doctors. But after this, my doctors had gotten in contact with myself again and told me that I was to see gynae prior COVID and did I still want to come in and see where I was at? And I says, yes. I told the doctor, I didn't tell my doctors that I had been private over COVID, but I told them, yes, I want to come down. While I had went down, my own doctors had all the notes from my private doctor. And then I spoke to my own doctors about my situation and where we were at.
Okay. And you mentioned previously that you're on an IVF waiting list.
Yes. So sorry. Got back in with my own doctors and explained the situation to them all, and they have known what has been happening. So in between times now, girls, I had to get a smear test as well. So please, anyone out there that has never got a smear and is feared to get a smear, please do. Please get it. It is literally 10 seconds and they are so important. So you only get them every 3 years. In the north, I'm not sure what it's like in the south, but I had my first smear, you turn 25, that was fine. 3 years later, I had another smear, which was just recently, I think it was maybe 2 years, year and a half ago. And between all this and my smear had came back that I had abnormal cells. Now, if I hadn't got my smear, them cells could have turned into cervical cancer. This had all went on in the middle while I was back with my doctors going through this, and I had my smear and my cells that came back abnormal. I had to go and get a biopsy. I had to get my cells burnt away, and that was all a backlog as well to do with this, because I couldn't move any further forward with my situation until these was all clear. So after about 6-7 months, everything, we got my cells cleared, everything was back to normal, got my results, got my other smear, got all that in place, and the next step was Belfast. And the doctor goes through everything with myself and my partner from start to where we are now. And she wants to do another internal and myself and more bloods, and she wanted to check everything out before we got to the next step and what our next step was. But at this point, while we were up in Belfast, she had told us that we are probably looking at IVF or ICI. There's so many things. I'm not even sure myself 100% and what it all concludes. There is so much to digest. So we left that day, myself and my partner, and we were like, whoa, like, this is it. We are going to go for IVF, which we kind of thought that anyway for quite some time, that this is the route we might have to take, which it is. But we were buzzing, like, we're delighted to be there and be here now. And it has been 3.5 years, and I never thought that I would have been somebody that would be 3.5 years waiting. But we are now on the waiting list for IVF, and yeah, it's very, very exciting. And this next journey for us is going to be a whole new journey for us, because we've went through some serious downs to get where we're at. But I am looking at this as the biggest high in my life right now, and I am so excited, both myself and my partner, to see what the next steps are and what life consists of and what IVF consists of. Because, as I say, we're not fully 100% ourselves, but that's where we're at now. And yeah, we have to go down the route of IVF, which is fine. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm nervous. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm nervous for my partner, because I could be very crabbit. But yeah, so yeah, that's where we're at now today.
Very good. So it sounds like you're happy with where you're at the moment.
Very happy.
Yeah.
Very happy. I think as well, I put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, with work and everything. And you try so much, and you try to relax, and somebody to tell you to relax and not think about it. And, you know, it's so much easier said than done. It is so much easier said than done, because it's all you're thinking about. It is all you want, you know. You're in, whenever the time comes, like, it's all you want.
If you were to go back to the younger Carla, who was just going through this moment, whenever you realized that she was struggling, what would you say to her now?
I would tell her to talk about it.
Okay.
Talking. Definitely talking about it helps.
And who would she or could she talk to?
My parents or my partner or my brothers or sisters. Really, anybody, a family, like, I could speak to anybody about it. And if there's what, and I know some people find talking to a stranger is a lot easier than talking to somebody you know as well. Also, I've had numerous conversations with people I don't know that has been went through it as well. So sometimes it is easier to talk to a stranger, but I definitely suggest talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as a kid too, Ryan, growing up, I was well warned, like, no kids. Like, no kids, young. Like, I was scared. I think growing up in my teenage life, I was scared my whole life to get pregnant. And God has a plan for everybody, and this is my plan. And I don't know why this is my plan, but it is. Maybe I'm not ready for kids. Maybe the world's testing me with patience. God only knows. But God has a plan. And yeah, I was scared growing up to get pregnant. Like, never, ever wanted to come home to tell my parents that I was pregnant, because it was, and I was in a relationship from young age. I was only 15. Like, and you know, and you're well warned back in my day anyway to not have a kid. And that was scary. And that might have been one of the reasons that I thought that I didn't want to tell my parents that I was struggling, because I was so well warned that maybe if I told them I was trying, that, how do you have time for a kid? You have a business to run. You have this to do. You know. But I know that my parents and my family and my partner is my biggest rock and my biggest support. But I think you just think back to when you were young. And I think maybe I tried to plan my life from a young age that I'm going to have my business and I'm going to have my house and I'm going to get married and I'm going to have kids. And my life has not went like that at all in any way. And sometimes I blame myself for maybe having too much high expectations from a young age. I'm sure everyone out there, there's a lot more people in the same situation, you know.
That's good. Okay. So, what would you say your biggest lesson is from all of this?
Patience. I have learned patience and to love myself. And God has a plan for everybody. And my journey is different. I have a different story to tell. And this is my story.
Cool. Well, Cara, I want to thank you so, so much for sharing your story and for sharing it with me on this podcast. I am so, so grateful because I know it takes so much courage and bravery to talk about things that we don't want to talk about. And, you know, I know and believe that this story will at least be shared with the local community. And there will be some girls out there, some women who will hear this, and I'm sure that that will give them light, you know, and that they will feel a bit better, and maybe they'll reach out to you, you know. So if anyone does reach out to me, I'll definitely put them your way.
Yeah, and if anyone listening that knows me themselves as well, drop me a message as well. If I can help one person, if that's a case of, you know, I am struggling, can you help me on what I should do next? I am there. And also, girls, if there's anyone out there that's maybe single, that's like from the range of 26 to 30, and they're thinking they need a partner and they want kids and they want marriage and they're settling for things that they know they shouldn't be settling, girls, we can freeze our embryos. We can turn 30 and we can say, you know what? I am single and I want kids in the future, but I don't have a man. You can look into freezing your embryos, and when you meet somebody and you meet your match down the line, you have your eggs there, healthy and ready to go. So think about that as well, girls. Don't think that, like, I'm 30, oh my God, I want kids, what am I going to do, I am single. You can look into freezing eggs, and I advise anyone to do that as well, because I spoke to a woman that turned 40 and wanted kids, and her eggs were fried. And, you know, and that's the word she used, and she broke down and she never had kids. You know, that was fine. She says kids never entered her head ever until she tried, and it was too late for her. So that's just one other thing I want to put out there, girls, too. Okay. So
cool. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And I appreciate you having me on here too, Ryan.
Not a problem. I really want to have discussions with people who are going through challenges or went through challenges in life that at least can touch the hearts of others, so that we can all learn from each other. So, Carla, thank you very much for coming on the first guest, the first guest on this podcast.
Yes. I'm privileged to have been your first guest, and I do hope that if I help one person out there, and as I say, drop myself or Ryan a message if you feel that you want some questions answered. I will try and help my best. As I say, I'm still on my learning journey and learning all about it. But if I can help you take the first step, I will be more than happy to. And just don't overthink, girls. I know here I am now saying that, but relax as much as you can and just love life. Just love life. Go on that weekend. Go on that holiday if you can. You know, just do it. Just do it.
Good,
so,
good.
Yeah. I do hope I help somebody. So thank you.
Sure you will. You're more than welcome, Gerda. So thank you very much, and we will catch up again.
Yeah. Chat soon. Thanks.
Bye. So I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I want to thank you again for tuning in, and I ask you to remember that you are the infinite creator.